I want to talk to us about Christ, our escape. Christ, our escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll start with verse 13. And if you're physically able to stand, let's do so. If not, please sit right there, but let's listen to what God has to say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I got to read that one again, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why? Why does it need to be a comfort? So you don't have to be worried about what's coming in the future. Just be ready to meet our Lord. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. He's talking to the saints of God, those that believe in Christ. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Why? For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day of Christ, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith in love and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our escape. Amen. Christ, our escape. If you're wondering how you're going to get out of trouble, how you're going to get through situations, you got to run to Christ. Now listen, you know, there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of people today, they'll teach that you know, no matter what you do, you just run to Jesus, and you know, you can make all the mistakes you want, you can do whatever you want, just run to Christ, it's okay, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Make him out like some big fairy tale or some big Santa Claus sitting up there with a big bag of goodies, and there's no repercussion for sin, there's no, you know, there's no, it's not like that. You got to run to Christ. Now you may have troubles in your life, and Christ can save you, he can deliver you. You may still have to deal with problems. I mean, if you're a bank robber and you rob the bank, you can't say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Let this all pass away now. I'm going to keep this money and go on. And God, you should keep the cops back. It don't work that way. You're still going to get arrested. You're still going to be put in a slammer. You ought to be. All right. So we've got to have the Lord, and we're looking to him because trouble is on the rise. The Bible talks about how that the days would become more and more dangerous, more and more troubled. And it's happening all around us as we see that going on. Now, I don't mean for this to be a gloom and despair, an agony on me kind of a message this morning. But listen, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, it is a day of despair for you. And it's going to get worse and worse. And there are no other alternatives but to run to Jesus. We read the scripture here that Paul wrote to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because so many, or in 4 and 5, because so many people in his day were troubled about the coming of the Lord. They didn't know what was going on. And they thought maybe, you know, all kind of different things was going to happen to them. So he began to write to them how that you are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. The day of judgment and destruction is not for you that are saved. It's for those those, it's for the devil and his angel, it's for the workers of iniquity, it's for those that rebel against God and refuse to hear the word of the Lord. This is one of the reasons it's so important that we be a part of the work that the Gideons are doing, that we be a part of missionaries and works around the country that are going across the world trying to reach the lost with this gospel. It would be a shame for men to die that have never heard this great gospel preached. They're going to die. They'll go to hell. You say that's an injustice. It's an injustice if we don't get to them. God has made us the ambassadors of heaven. God has made us the ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones that the responsibility lays upon to get the gospel to all the regions of the world. And so Christ delays his coming that we can get to them. But every day that we delay, more and more go into eternity lost, undone without God. There are those today that want to ban the Bible. They want to burn the Bible, do away with it. But I want to tell you, the word of God is the only thing that will stand in a day of shaking. This world will reel and rock. It already is. I mean, even this week, earthquakes in unusual places, it's happening more and more. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago that there would be more and more earthquakes, trouble on every hand, wars and rumors of war. It's happening at an astounding rate like no other generation has ever seen before. Christ is our only escape. I'm going to talk to you now for a moment about the day of destruction. It is coming. The Bible said here in Ephesians 5:1, it said, hey, brethren, you have no need that I write to you about the times of the seasons. But verse 2 says, for yourself perfectly, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Again, I give you the thought, you know, that I don't particularly believe that this is the thief that's got on the little mask and he's sneaking in with a little flashlight and he's slipping around and putting little goodies in his bag and he's going to slip back out. In the day that Paul wrote this, thieves in the night come like bands of hoarders and robbers that rode in with their arrows and spears. They slaughtered people. They burnt down places. I mean, it was a day of destruction when the thieves come in the night. And that's no doubt what Paul is talking about. But I can assure you that in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye, when the church is caught out of here and Christ comes and lifts us out of the way, this world will begin to go into a total state of demon possession. Evil like we've never seen or even heard of will begin to take place around this world as hordes of demons are loosed upon planet Earth, and men will see a side of mankind they've never seen before. And I know we've had horrible history and situations that have occurred where people are slaughtered and treated so horribly. Even now it happens, but not like it will happen in the day of destruction. It will come as a thief in the night. We must be ready. Let me give you an example of something that took place in the Old Testament. We read in Genesis chapter 12 about Lot and chapter 19, we read about Lot and his situation where he lived in the cities of there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, he had made a choice to go there. He made a bad choice. He was the place appealed to him. When he looked out, he seen the well-watered plains of Sodom. He'd seen how beautiful the grass grew and the rivers ran, and they had such good seasons. And the people all seemed to be happy because they had nice houses and all the different things that were there in the city and the nightlife. All the stuff that was going on in those cities seemed to be somewhat of an appeal to Lot. So he took his family. He went there while Abraham, his uncle, went in a different direction to a barren land, a land of desolation. And yet God blessed Abraham to grow and to multiply and to have more than Lot would ever dream of having, because Lot chose the things of the flesh. Abraham chose the things of the spirit. Today, the decision is still ours. There's so many people this afternoon that will absolutely take their lives in suicide. They'll be, some of them will be millionaires, some of them with all kind of money, some fame, fortune, some popular Hollywood star, something like that. We know that money's not the answer, or all of those that have all the money wouldn't be so strung out on drugs and alcohol. They're looking for something to satisfy them, but they're looking in the wrong place. Christ is the only answer. He's the only place for a man to find peace. He's the only place for a woman to find the satisfaction she's looking for. Every person longs to be connected to something that is real, something that is eternal. Anywhere you go on planet Earth, if they've never heard this gospel preached, if they've never had a Bible, they will have all kinds of things to worship. There's going to be totem poles. They'll worship the sun god. They'll have Buddhas. They'll have statues. They're going to worship something. They're going to have something something that they bow down to. They're going to worship. Man was created to worship, but we were created to worship only one God, because there is only one true and living God, the creator of everything. It's God Almighty, amen, and his son Jesus came to planet Earth to set you free from the sin and the bondage that we live in. Amen. He's our way of escape. A day of destruction was coming. Lot didn't realize that on the particular day that he got up, that God had already dispatched two angels to make their way to Sodom and Gomorrah and to look things over. And while they were on their journey across, they had been there visiting with Abraham. God lingered behind, speaking with Abraham as Abraham pleaded with God to have mercy on the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story. Abraham said to God, oh, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? God said, oh, listen, this important that we know this, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when he comes. All right, talking about Christ when he comes back. He also said, as it was in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be. All right, so we get an example from what occurred. Here Abraham is on the other area. He's representing the church. He's over there talking to God. Oh, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? God said, no, I will not do that. Abraham begins to plead. What if there's 50 there? Will you destroy the place? God said, no. And then Abraham, he's thinking, I know they ain't 50 people there. And so he begins to bargain. He works his way down to 10 people. He said, if there's 10 righteous there, will you destroy it? God said, I will not destroy that place if there's 10 righteous there. While that's going on, the angels are making their way. Lot gets up like any other day. Everything is beautiful. The birds are singing and flying around. The sun is shining. Grass is green. People seem to be having a wonderful time. They're running around, getting ready for their next deal, whatever they were doing. Sodom and Gomorrah was cities of sin, probably much like Las Vegas, maybe even worse. And so it was just a place of horrible sin. And yet it was where everybody sought after their own pleasures. The desires of their heart was there. And so while Lot got up and he was a part of all that was going on, it seemed like any other day. Just like today. Just like today. Just the temperature's about right. Sun's shining, birds singing, animals are running around. We're happy. Everything's lovely. That's how Lot felt. He got up. Little did he know that in a matter of time, these angels were going to knock on his door. They were coming. They were looking for the righteous. Is there 10 here? They had their commission from God. They searched. They looked. There weren't 10. They knocked on the door of Lot. Lot comes. He sees them. Well, what's going on here? And he begins to talk with them. They come in. They start trying to, of course, you know the story. The men of the city. Much perversion in that place. The men of the city came out and wanted those men. They wanted them for themselves, to molest those men. And Lot began a struggle, saying, no, you can't do this. He called those men of that city brethren. He said, you cannot do this, my brethren. Oh, to identify with such things is a horrible state of mind. What's happened to Lot? This was the man that had been with Abraham while Abraham got his commission from God and knew what he was to do and where he was to go. Lot knew how to worship God. He knew how to sacrifice right. He knew how to live right, but he had become so vexed and so caught up with all the things that were going on around him in that city of pleasure. And so there, Lot, he's talking to these men. What's happening? And of course, the men have to pull him in away from those men of the city that are trying to violate him. And so they put up basically a wall protection. They stopped the door, and those men began to talk to Lot, and they pleaded with him. And here's what they said. And this is in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Why? We're going to have to destroy it because of the sin. Obviously, 10 were not found. Obviously, there weren't enough there for God to spare the city. Why would God have spared the city if there had been enough found? Because if God had an absolute voice of righteousness in a city like that, that would truly herald what was true, it had Lot been out vocally speaking out and saying, God is a God of righteousness. You must repent. If he'd have been a man like Jonah, I'm not running the wrong way, but like Jonah when he showed up there in Nineveh, he preached the right message and men and women repented, but there was no such voice in that city, and so God had to get Lot out of there because he was going to destroy it because of the wickedness. And these angels said to him in verse 13, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." What do you mean waxed great? The sounds of sin go up to God in a way that he hears, in an odor that he smells that is not an odor of righteousness. It's not a sound of pleasure. It's not anything that brings honor to God. Oh, there is sounds. Oh, yeah, I know they're partying. I know there's the sounds of music, but among that, there's the weeping, the crying, those that have fallen themselves, found themselves caught up in such ungodliness that has begun to destroy their lives. God hears. He knows the results of sin. Verse 14 said, "And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." Listen. "But he," Lot, "seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws." Now, you know, you could read that and feel like, well, maybe they mocked at Lot while he was telling them this. Listen again. "But he," Lot, "seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws." Could it be that Lot just really hadn't bought into the idea of what was really happening? Was it that he was rehearsing the message to these boys, but he really didn't believe it? I fear that today that is much of the problem of the church of this hour. We talk about the coming of the Lord, but we don't live like he's coming. We sing about the coming of the Lord, but we don't live like he's coming. Oh, when we tell people, "Oh, Jesus is coming," but yet they see very little urgency in us. They see very little determination in us. The church today seems to want to embrace everything about the world. It wants to hold on to what the world wants, to look like the world, sound like the world, act like the world, and yet the Lord is about to come for those that are watching. How do you watch? How do you look? How do you watch? You do that by the way you live. You prepare yourself for his appearing. You're ready to meet him. You're looking for him. You're praying about him. You're involved in his word and doing what his word has called you to do. That's how you watch. "He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. And when the morning arose," and here's evidence, listen, "and when the morning arose, the angels hastened." Lot, hey man, you know, I don't think I could have slept. I think I'd have probably been over at them angels. "Look, man, get us out of here. Let's get going tonight. Can we do this tonight? Can we get on? Go?" "No, what's happening?" Lot's holding back. And the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters." That's all they could get together. Four of them. "Take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city." Lest thou be, you stay here, you will be consumed with the rest of them. Today, I want to tell you, sin will consume you. Sin will engulf you. You start out and you think, "Oh, this is all right. Ain't no big deal. I'll just do a little of this or take a little drink of that or hang out with this crowd or I'll be all right. I can do okay. I think I can handle it." Sin will consume you. Here's a man that knew what was righteousness. He knew the laws of God. He had been there when Abraham had received word from God Almighty himself. He'd seen the miracles of God, and yet here he is, consumed by everything that was going on. He was more involved in what was happening. He was consumed with his troubles. Maybe he's like many today, consumed with fear, consumed with worries, consumed with pleasure, consumed with popularity, consumed with stuff, consumed with money. There's a lot of things that the devil will use to consume you. "Lest thou be consumed with the in the iniquity of this city." And while, listen, "and while he lingered," who? Lot. The angels hastened him, said, "Hurry, get your stuff, get your wife, let's get out of here." And while he lingered, why? Why would he linger? He didn't really believe. He just didn't think this was going to happen. Maybe he thought he was in a dream. "This can't be happening to me. Why is this happening to me? We just got our house. We just got our new chariot. We just got all, you know, whatever. You know, we just got all this stuff. Why is this happening to me?" And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? None of us deserve the salvation of Christ. We've done nothing to deserve that. Oh, but I'm glad for the mercy and the grace of God Almighty. I'm so glad for the saving blood of Jesus Christ that is able to wash away every sin. Amen. And in God's mercy, because of the prayers and the intercessory prayers of Abraham, the angels laid hold on them and for the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, the angel now talking, escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plains, but escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He says it again. Lest thou be consumed. Listen, oh, escape for thy life. Look not behind you. Oh, there's too many today looking back. Too many Christians today looking at what's back there. Oh, look at what I left. Look at what I give up. If you feel like you give up too many good things to be with the Lord, I can assure you your heart's not right with God. If you feel like the world has better things to offer you than what God has given you since you've been walking with him, I can assure you, you're not rapture ready. Amen. You're not rapture ready. Oh, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, but escape to the mountain. We know that Christ is our mountain. We run to him in time of trouble. We run to him in our times of despair. We run to him when we don't know what else to do. He is our only place of escape. Christ is our way of escape. Run to the, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Jesus said these words in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Things are happening that we cannot stop. Hey, we need to be good people. We need to be good citizens. We need to be godly men and women of God. We need to vote for what's right and do what's right. Amen. Try to hold hell back as long as we can. We need to storm the gates of hell and get over there on the other side and try to save all the lost that we can. Meanwhile, there are things that are coming in this direction that we cannot stop. We cannot turn it away. We may hold it back because we're doing such a great work. God spares us a little longer to reach more and to do more because he's found somebody that'll get a job done. But I can assure you, it's inevitable. There is a judgment day coming that this world will not escape. He said, watch ye, talking to you, talking to me as Christians, as men and women of God. If you're lost this morning, you're not where you should be. If you are not sure whether you're rapture or ready, he's talking to you. Run to him. Run to Christ. Fall on your knees and ask him to come in your life. Save your soul. Amen. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Key verse here. 1 Corinthians 10:13, man, I love this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Have you found anybody faithful much lately? You say, well, maybe your mom or your granny or your dad or somebody. You might know somebody's faithful, but have you found anybody that's faithful all the way? Through every situation, never let you down, never made you, never hurt your feelings, never done you wrong. God is faithful. Amen. He'll never hurt you. He'll never do you wrong. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with that temptation, he'll also make a way to escape. Hallelujah. A way to escape. That's Jesus, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, when there's things that come against me, I can't handle. Jesus inside of me can handle it. When I have no confidence in myself, I can have confidence in him because he's always able and he's always there and he's always made a way of escape. Hebrews 2 and verse 3 says, as they come to get us a song ready, Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You cannot escape without Christ. There is no other plan for mankind. There is no other plan. Amen. I said, Brother Jeff, you're awful dogmatic about that. Yes. It's the word of God. It bends no rules, folks. God don't judge on a curve. Well, this generation's not doing as good as the last one. I think I'll have to kind of curve it a little so we can help them get them better grades. God don't do that. He's got one word for every man, every woman. We have to find Christ and abide by his word and live by his word. That is the only way. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We cannot. Lot lingered. He lost. He lost his wife. He really lost his daughters. If you read the story, it becomes perverted after that even. It's a shame when we're so caught up in the things around us that we really can't see our true goal. You were not created to die and go to hell. You were not created to walk around planet Earth and bring glory to yourself and look how great you are and have great amounts of money and fame and fortune. You were created in the likeness of God Almighty and to have fellowship with Him. He's looking for somebody that'll love Him without strings attached. Some only love God. They're like fair weather friends. They only love Him when He's blessing, when He's giving. But as soon as there's trouble, they abandon Him and run somewhere else. I've had friends like that. I don't want friends like that. And God doesn't want His children to be that way. Let's stand this morning. He's our way of escape. His name is Jesus. You can call on Him this morning and He will save you. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sin. Forgive me and wash me. Wash me in Your precious blood. I know You died on Calvary for me, that I wouldn't have to die. You took my place. I deserve that cross, not You. And I deserve the hell that You have saved me from. And I thank You this morning, Lord, as You save my soul, set me free. In Jesus' name, these altars are open. We've got time.